السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كان موجودا قبل حدوث الأشياء ويبقى بعد فناء الأشياء، تفرد بالأولية والقدم وبصم كل شيء ما عداه بالفناء والعدم، كما قال عز شأنه: كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه وكل نفس ذائقة الموت، وقال: كل من عليها فان، ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. سبحان من لا يخفى عليه اختلاف النيات، ولا يعزب عنه معاصي العباد في الخلوات. أشهد أن لا إله إلا هو الملك الذي لا ينازع في ملكه ولا يضاد في حكمه، يعذب من يشاء بما يشاء كيف يشاء، ويرحم من يشاء بما يشاء كيف يشاء. ونشهد أن محمدا سيد المرسلين وخير المبشرين والمنذرين، صلى الله عليه وآله الهداة المهديين، من ركب سفينتهم نجا واهتدى، ومن تخلف عنها ضل فغرق وهوى. أوصيكم عباد الله بالاعتصام بالتقوى، فإنه حبل متين وعروة وثقى. I remind you all, brothers and sisters, to abide by the code of piety according to our own intellect and according to the teachings of our religion. Taqwa and piety is a vision and it's a goal that a person to aspire to achieve all his life. It's also a process, and it's also a continuing effort for a person to keep correcting his ways, checking on where one's going and when's heading, and how to face the challenges in life that come in a person's way. Because in the end, what determines a person to have lived a life of piety or not is how he dies and how he completes his life. And we pray that Allah will give us al-aqibatul khair, inshallah, a good aqibat, inshallah, something that will give us najat and salvation in the next life, inshallah. We have been discussing about some of the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan. I will continue. In Surah Al-Furqan, verse 68, we were talking about the qualities of awsaf or of Ibadur Rahman. One of the qualities of the servants of Allah in this ayat says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. It says that one of the qualities of the servants of the merciful Lord is that they do not take any life unless it is rightfully allowed to them. They do not take any life. And they do not commit adultery, zina. And whoever does that will have a grievous punishment, yalqa athama. In the ahadith from the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, it's reported that the Holy Prophet said, and this is reported in Bihar al-Anwar, لو أن رجلا قتل بالمشرق وآخر رضي به بالمغرب كان كمن قتله وشرك في دمه. He said that if a person was killed in the east, and another person in the west was razi, that means he was okay with the killing of this person, right? He will be like those who actually killed that person. Wa sharika fi dami, and he will be a party in his blood. On the day of judgment, some people will be given a bowl of blood, and they will be told that this is your share in the death of some person. And he will say that, "Oh Lord, I never killed anyone in my life." And he will be told that you said something that others said something else about, and then it kept going until somebody was killed. And in our ziyarat also, ziyarat Ashura and other ziyarat, you see that a person who has been, those who have been cursed for killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam, some who participated in the killing, some who supported them, and some who were pleased and happy with it, or they were okay with it. That means they took it, accepted it, by fate, for example, by blaming the fate, blaming qaza wa qadar for something. That's just like killing someone. For example, finding religious justification or philosophical justification for some innocent person getting killed, and basically not finding an excuse to not speak against it or do anything against it, or to stop any further killing of innocent people. So among the qualities of Ibadur Rahman is that وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسِ, do not take a life, they do not kill anyone. People who are believers, they never kill another human being. الَّذِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ, that Allah has prohibited, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, except where it is rightful. This is narrated from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam was informed that there is in a masjid that was called Masjid al-Juhayna, some place in Medina perhaps, Masjid al-Juhayna, there is a body lying there of a person who has been slain. Person who has been killed, his body is lying in that masjid. So the Holy Prophet, soon as he heard that, he got up and started walking immediately towards that masjid, where he was told that there's a body there, somebody has been killed. He walked fast towards that place. And when he was walking towards that place, people found out that the Holy Prophet is coming. So all the neighborhood, all the people from that area, they gathered in the masjid. And the Holy Prophet asked, "Who has killed this person?" And the people who had all gathered there, they said, "We don't know who killed. We don't know who killed this person." And the Prophet, he said, "Is it proper that a Muslim is killed and his body, his janaza, is sitting there among the Muslims and nobody knows who killed him? Is it proper, is it acceptable that a Muslim is killed, right? His janaza is between them and no one is asking who killed him." "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave me nabuwat, if all the dwellers of the heavens and all those who live on earth, they all collaborate and they all contribute to the murder of one Muslim, right? And they were pleased, they were happy with the killing of that one Muslim, by Allah, all of them will be thrown in hellfire. If all the people in the heavens and all those earth, they are pleased with the killing of one innocent man, all will be thrown in the hellfire." Another incident like that from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. It is narrated that three people were brought to Hazrat, to Imam alayhi salam. Three people were caught and they were brought to the Imam. One of them held somebody by force. The third person had come and actually killed that person, stabbed him to death. And the third person was watching this happening. So the after all the investigations and everything, that the Imam alayhi salam, he decided in this case that the person who had held that person, right, was given a life sentence. Forever, he'll die in the jail, basically. The one who killed him was immediately put to death. It was ordered to be killed immediately. And the person who was watching, he was blinded for watching. His eyes were taken away. So he was, like some way that he couldn't see anymore. You know, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Now the people say, some people, ignorant people, they say, how can you have these harsh punishments? It just reflects the apathy of the people who make these kind of objections. The extreme apathy and the height of apathy and ignorance of people who blame the judge, who blame a person for exacting punishment against a murderer or a terrorist, instead of blaming a terrorist and doing justice with the terrorist who has actually taken a life and caused enormous fear in the society by killing one innocent human being. If in a society one terrorist, right, who has caused terror and fear among the people was truly given justice, that means given the proper punishment that he deserves, which is a very severe punishment in Islam for causing terror in the society. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 33, there's a eye-opening verse where it says that the jaza, the retribution of those who fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet and create fasad, disturbance on earth, which is through terrorism and other things, could be financial terrorism, could be actual terrorism by a force, right? Their punishment is that they should be killed in the most severe manner. And yuqattalu, or yusallibu, they'd be crucified. Or their hands and legs should be cut. And they should be exiled, they're sent away from their land. And this is their humiliation in this life and a big chastisement waiting for them in the akhirah. Well, if there was justice in a society, there will be progress. There will be all good things spreading in the society. Morals will be good. People will have a sense of security and peace that they can live their lives. They can educate their children. They can go about their work. And good things will come out in a society. Society is safe, stable and secure. So you'll have a lot of progress in that society. Materially, religiously, right? But if there is no society, there's no safety and security in the society, there's no peace in the society, what would happen? I would say that if there's no justice in the society, what would happen? No one is secure. So it is obviously very important that people realize the importance of human life. Now it is anywhere in the world. Anywhere you see human beings being victimized, it is a moral responsibility of every human being to voice his or her protest. In any way you can. Even if you're holding a poster in your hand, standing by the side of the road, even that is acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you made a statement in a political forum, where more people can hear, that is very good. If you can go and if you can voice your protest on the media in any way, that is acceptable. Just as being a responsible citizen of a country, that's what it is. A responsible citizen of a country is a person who stands up for justice. Justice is the most supreme human value. There is no human value bigger than justice. People sometimes are confused about what is the greatness of a human being. Human being greatness is to be just. To be just, because justice is the most far-reaching virtue that basically can cover the whole society. You can be generous to a few people, but you can be just to all the people. With generosity, how many people can you be generous to? Whatever means you have, you'll be generous to as many people as you want. But you can be just to the whole society, the whole world, you can be just. And in a just society, right, everyone's rights are secured. The justice, the word adl is defined in Arabic, اَعْتَىٰ أُكُلْ لَذِي حَقًّا حَقَّهُ. Justice means to give the right of everyone that he deserves. That's what it means. No one gets more than he deserves. If you can do that, or you can come close to that, that much good will spread in the society. Therefore, every person living in a society, we, for example, Shia Muslims living in the United States, right? We should come together and think, what is our rightful place in the society? Equal rights for all. Our rights, others' rights. We respect others' rights. They respect our rights. We should plan, as a community, plan to see, you know, are we preserving our rights? Right to have, right to practice religion? To a large extent, we have that. The law secures in this country, people are respectful in this country, no problem. But then, in the long term, I think we have been shown a lot of weakness in ourselves to protect our future in terms of educating our young children. Are we protecting, for example, our values in education? We have ourselves, well, to some extent we have done it, but we see that so many of our children get exposed to things that are not in the interest of our children. Is there an easy way to correct what has gone wrong? For example, if a child grows up in a bad environment for 10 years, 15 years, is there an easy way to, for example, reverse this core process? Is there a process, way of reversing this? You have a person grow up in a certain way, after 20 years you want to reverse it. Is it possible? Maybe one or two cases you could, out of 1,000. Out of 100, I don't know. It's not easy. As a parent, you know, if your child grows up, now you see something problem in your child. How do you correct it? Some people resort to force. It doesn't work. If you have to undo years of bad nurturing, bad education, right? It's an almost impossible task. Because a personality is formed, groomed, a personality has been basically perfected almost in a certain way. Now you want to reverse it, everything will be okay. We'll take this person to counseling, it'll be fine. Well, how much can that do? What can that do really? It's not easy. It's very hard. Let's say people who have been into habit of drinking for 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, how can you correct that easily? The impact it has made already on the person, it's not going to go away. Other habits are the same way, right? A person is not interested in, for example, in religion, in Quran. Grows up in a family, never knows how to read a single verse of Quran. Now he's 30 years old, 25 years old, more or less. He wants to learn Quran. It's possible, but does he have the motivation? If the person, nobody encourages his child from the start, grows up at age of forever, you know, wants to, does he even want to? It's not easy. So that's why to have a rightful place in one society, education is very important. Proper education to protect our schools, to spread, have more schools of high standard. And in every community, in for example, wherever we live, in this country, for example, there should be always one very good school or more, a chain of schools. I've heard in some places in Canada, there's a whole network of Shia schools being run properly, professionally. That's very important. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and for guidance, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم سبحان من سبقت رحمته غضبه وبسط اليدين بالرحمة اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبيا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم صل وعلى إمام المسلمين وقائد الغر المحجلين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين وبذعة خاتم المرسلين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء وعلي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا صاحب الزمان ماحي آثار البدع والطغيان هادم بنية الشرك والنفاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أبائه الكرام اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه بجاه محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات May Allah bless the souls of all the deceased and our shuhada and martyrs and Imam al-Rahil and all ulama Rabbani who have passed away and all the shuhada who have given their lives to save the name of Islam and the spirit of Islam. Briefly, we'll just touch upon a few things. First want to, because it's the Holy Month of Muharram, I'll just read for blessing one of the words of Sayyid al-Shuhada that he said in the court in Medina when he was asked for to come for bay'at by Walid. And Imam alayhi salam said, Ayyuhal Amir, inna ahlu bayt al-Nubuwa. Well, the title of the Wali was Amir, so inna ahlu bayt al-Nubuwa. We are the household of prophecy, prophethood. Wa ma'adinu risala. We are the treasure house of risalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa mukhtalaful malaika. We are the place where angels come and go. They pass by our place. Wa mukhtalaful malaika. Angels visit us. Angels are in contact. We are in contact with angels all the time. Wa mahbatul wahi. And we are the place of hubut of wahi. Hubut means the coming down of wahi. The wahi of Allah comes to us. Now this is mahbatul wahi. The Imam Hussain alayhi salam is not saying, for example, my grandfather was the mahbatul wahi. He did not say, for example, my grandfather used to receive wahi from Allah subhanahu. He said, inna ahlu bayt al-nubuwah wa mahbatul wahi. We are the ahlu bayt of risalat and nubuwat, and we are the place where the wahi of Allah comes down to. Bina fatah Allah wa bina yakhtim. With us Allah has begun everything. Wa bina yakhtim. And with us everything will culminate. Wa yazid rajulun sharibul khamr. And Yazid is who? He's an alcoholic. Wa qatilun nafsil muhtarama. He's a murderer who has taken life, sacred lives, lives that are muhtaram, respected lives. Yazid has taken lives of such people. Mu'linun bil fisq, he publicly commits fisq fujur, haram things. He publicly commits them, violates the limits set by Allah. He violates them publicly. Wa mithli la yubayyu mithlahu, and a person of my standing, a person like me, will never give bay'at to a person like Yazid. Will never accept or give allegiance or support or vote for a person like Yazid. وَلَكِنْ نُصْبِحُ وَتُصْبِحُونَ. But you wait and think this night till morning, and we do the same. وَنَنْظُرُ وَتَنْظُرُونَ. You look into this matter. He wanted him to think. He wanted everyone. Because ultimately everyone has a choice. People get educated or nurtured or become like greedy or become evil, but the little amount of choice is still there. They don't use the choice to do the right thing, but the choice is still there, ikhtiyar. Nanzuru wa tanzuru. So you look into this matter and we look into this matter, right? To see ayyuna ahakku bil khilafati wal bay'a. Which of us is more deserving, entitled to receive khilafat and bay'at? Look at the courage of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. He said, Allahumma salam. There is no sign of weakness in the words of Sayyid al-Shuhada, ever. And he's standing in front of the valley of Medina, or wherever. And Imam alayhi salam speaks like, okay, let's see who has the right to become a Khalifa, Yazid or I? You know? And who should be given bay'at to? Should it be given to Yazid or should it be given to me? There's no sign of weakness really in the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And it was this courageous stand of Imam. It was this bold that he wanted his Shia and he wanted all the people to become really with people of such high principles. Do not sacrifice principles. Because if a person sacrifices principles, he changes his identity, corrupts his identity. For example, you profess, you say, I am a Muslim, I am so and so, and then you talk against it. Or you show weakness and you do not stand your ground. You corrupt yourself. By doing that, you corrupt yourself. Well, today, in occupied territories, there's a lot going on in our sacred mosque in Baitul Masjid al-Aqsa. A very sad situation over there, that the Palestinians are not being allowed to enter Masjid al-Aqsa. And it was heading this way for many years. And plus, in the areas where Palestinians are inhabited, Hebron and other places, settlers are being brought in the middle of a Muslim township, Muslim camp or city or neighborhood. Most radical and fundamentalist of them, who throw things at them, insult them, beat them up, hurt them, provoke them to respond, and often shoot them for suspicion. All of this is happening in the Muslim areas. And while Masjid al-Aqsa is also under occupation, and all these areas, they're facing the same situation. So, obviously this is something that we cannot forget. Many years of deprivation, many years of suffering, and the world has been watching all this going on. We as Shia Muslim condemn these acts of terror and persecution of a whole population, forcing them to move out of their cities, move out of their neighborhoods, forcing them, making them walk miles and miles just to get to the next street, making them wait sometimes 5 hours, 7 hours just to get to work, sometimes denied to work, go to work. Sick people often suffer at these checkposts. They have no way to cross them, get to the hospital. Well, obviously, if we expose ourselves to these things, we will have more empathy and understanding. Not knowing, obviously, is not an excuse. Not knowing enough is not an excuse either. And our social and moral obligation is to learn about these things. Even in the next life, when people say, okay, why didn't you pray? Says, okay, I didn't know how to pray. Why didn't you learn? No one can get away. In the eyes of Allah, we're saying, I didn't know. You know, Allah ta'allamta. In the qabr, it will be asked, did you do this? No, I didn't. Why didn't you learn? Weren't there any ulama in your city? Weren't there ulama outside? Was there no way you could call and find out? Was there no way you could go to a masjid and learn, educate yourself? Especially nowadays, nobody has an excuse really. I want to, mashallah, congratulate our Al-Hadi school for the collective work and wisdom and hard work to try to standard upgrade the standard of our school. Today they had a Karbala project also. Children prepared their projects and presentations. We had a majlis last week where all the school participated. We pray for the efforts of all those who organize these events, and we pray that these efforts will continue. Al-Hadi school is trying very hard, and we will continue to try hard to provide all the resources necessary for all students and every single student who enters the school. A gifted student, average student, whatever ratings they make these days with assessments and all that, and even students who need special help, every student should be given proper, you know, education, and we are striving towards that. Every year we update and we look at, the school looks at all that's necessary to be done, and we thank the support of community, the school does. And inshallah, we should seriously think about saving our children from exposure to bad things and bringing them up in the in an environment which helps them, you know, be in touch with their values and their history, and also academically achieve very high levels. We're trying to accelerate studies of all the students. Standards obviously have to be kept very high, and we will be striving towards that. And all teachers, all the staff, everyone in the school, it's our responsibility, it's their responsibility to consider that, both a work that they do and also a service they're providing to Islam. A service that we as a community, mashallah, have kept the school running for this much, and we have seen the results of that. The harmony, the understanding of our community is basically partly is because of the very effective system of education that our community has here. We pray that Allah will keep us, give us more success in these efforts. And also the school, inshallah, in the new location that is being, should be starting to be constructed, inshallah, soon, that we raise our standards so much that every, inshallah, every Shia Muslim in our community should bring their children to Al-Hadi school, inshallah. And look up to our school with admiration, with pride, and that we look back and see, you know, we educated, we learned in a school which name shines all over United States. The people, inshallah, will look at the school as an achievement of Houston community. They say they tried to work because they valued education. That's where they invested their time and their energies and saved the whole generation from going on the wrong track. Because exposure to a materialist society can have damaging effects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make zuhur of Imam al-Islam clothes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا اللهم صل
امید قریبان تنها کجایی چراغ سر قبر زهرا کجایی تجلی طه گل عشق مولا دل آشفته داغ آن کوچه غم گرفتار گودال خونی دل افکار غمهای زینب سیاه پوش قاسم عزادار اکبر گل باغ لیلا پریشان دست علمگیر سقا نفسهای سجا نواهای باغ دعاهای صادق کسه بی کسی های شب های کاظم حبیب رضا و انیس غریب جواد الائمه تمنای هادی عزیز دل اسگری پس نگارا بفرما کجایی 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 دلم جز هوایت هوایی ندارد، لبم غیر نامت نوایی ندارد، وضو و اذان و نماز و قنوتم بدون ولایت بهایی ندارد، دلی که نشد خانه یاس نرگس خراب است و ویران صفایی ندارد. بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم، بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم، که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم، که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم.